B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Let's get to your calls. Why don't we start with this one? Jeremy's in Maine today. Maine caller. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Sorry, I don't know if you guys can hear. Can you guys hear me all right? I'm just getting gas right now.
are you in Maine?
Oh, yeah, I'm in Maine.
Can't get there from here.
I was a guy. Oh, I don't say that, man. I was a guy that called like a month ago. Said I was going to go to Florida with a Orchids of Asia T-shirt.
That's right. Disney World. How'd that work out?
You weren't sure if you were going to do it or not. You wanted. What'd you end up doing?
I didn't do it. I was just messing with you guys, anyways. My wife would end up killing me if I ever did something like that, anyways. I know it's a little bit in the future, but
yeah.
With the Celtics, I think also that the Celtics are going to, I don't think that they're going to sweep the Bucks. I think it's probably going to go six games, but,
it's like one of my takes.
As far as the draft picks that we have, obviously we're not going to know where we're going to land right now, but
I don't even know what you're talking about now. We're just going to end the call.
What he's trying to say
is we're going to land with the draft
future
picks.
Is so uncertain. That some things can happen, like they could probably sweep, they might not sweep, but based on where they end up is going to determine their draft order.
That was over 60 seconds. That was more than enough time. Fred is in Norwood. Hi, Fred.
Maine. Getting gas.
Maine. Hey, guys. Just a quick thing. Don't you think that for what the Cardinals got back, what they used to get Rosen and what they got back for Rosen makes the Garoppolo thing a lot better as far as what we used and what we got back?
No.
And then going even further, somebody went and kind of did like a family tree of like those muddled picks because everybody was always saying what we got back for Garoppolo.
Right, it's still going because of trades and where guys end up and all that, yeah.
It turned into Christian, Sam, Damian Harris. I mean, Christian Sam sucks, sure, but Damian Harris. And then picks that were partially responsible to get Duke Johnson, Jawan Williams, Yanni Kajus, and Jared Stidham, and they still have a fourth-round pick.
I mean, it was Malcolm Mitchell too, right? Or no, that Malcolm Mitchell was part of the Chandler Jones trade.
Yeah,
Joe Tooney.
Fred, your phone's breaking up. My first answer and first response is no. Rosen sucks. Garoppolo's good.
But he's talking from a top 10 value standpoint.
And then number two, I would say what you believe about the value on the Garoppolo deal boils down to one thing. Do you believe Adam Schefter and do you believe the reports that Cleveland had a better offer than San Francisco? Yes or no? If you believe the reports, then you don't think the Patriots maximized what they could have gotten for him. Simple. If you don't believe it, then you think the Patriots did just fine. If you read the way that it went down, the way it's been described from the San Francisco side, with firsthand quotes from those in the San Francisco organization, it seems like Bill Belichick gifted them Jimmy Garoppolo. So believe what you want. But no, I'm not going to sit here and look at the deal for Josh Rosen and use that as justification for why the Garoppolo deal was great. No. No, thank you.
No, you traded away a guy who was who stepped in and became the starting quarterback, a highly paid starting quarterback. Now, whether he can stay on the field remains to be seen. That was my issue with him. And again, something else that Zoe brought up earlier. It's like, well, I didn't really get a chance to see him play a whole lot, but obviously, the Patriots thought they had something, and other teams thought they had something there, and they were willing to pay him, and they're willing to bring him on. He was starting quarterback in San Francisco. A little bit remains to be seen, but the biggest case to be made is that he is, in fact, a starting quarterback in the NFL, you know, anointed as such. That's it. Josh Rosen? Is he going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
No, he's not.
This year?
Nope.
Next year?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Could be, but probably not.
Probably not. He's not going to go in and take over right away anywhere.
John and Quincy. Hi, John.
Hey, just had a quick question about the trade of Hollister to Seattle. Just wondering if you guys thought that possibly that was just a move to get something for the guy and then bring in another tight end, possibly a Rudolph or an Ertz. And then with the Pats drafting that kid in the second round from Alabama at running back.
Where's Ertz's name coming from?
I heard you guys actually on the radio a couple, I don't know if it was your show or if it was another one of the programs, but they threw that name out there. I know it's a long shot, but
like,
that's the name that I heard.
More of a long shot than the Viking kid with $9 million on the blocks and him mentioning retirement potentially, being at the end to come here and want to play with Brady. But other than that, I don't think there's any other veteran tight end they'd be in on.
So there's nobody out there on the market. I was thinking that there's possibly no with them drafting that running back, that maybe they could, you know, dangle White out there or something along those lines. I think, with Sony being in his second season.
I think it's, you could tweak the offense to where it's not heavily dependent upon the tight end. You have a Austin Safarian Jenkins, decent pass catching tight end, but I don't know how good a blocker he is. You got Matt Lacoste. Hollister couldn't get through a practice without getting hurt. I think that time has come and gone. Falling down in practice, puncturing lungs. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy with this kid. You wait and wait and wait. Okay, former quarterback. He can understand the spacing. It's going to be great. He's sort of a finesse guy.
Zach Ertz agreed to a restructured deal 2 weeks ago with the Eagles.
Yeah.
He restructured his money and moved money around with the Eagles. He's not available. Not that is necessary as proof.
He makes the offense.
Who the hell threw that name out there? He's not going anywhere. Kyle Rudolph, I think, could be had. I think his number is somewhere in the $7 million range.
Yeah, it's got to be like a Rudolph type. Yeah, the kid down in Carolina.
Well, they drafted a second tight end with the Vikings. But
yeah, who's the kid in Carolina?
What's his name?
Greg Olsen?
Olsen. An Olsen type, like that Olsen, Witten type player. Guy at the end of his career, you know, I'll give it one more shot. Go try and play with Brady. Like that type of thing.
But Kubiak's,
you're banking too much money.
I mean, Rudolph's not ancient. He's 29.
No, but he's mentioned and grumbled with retirement.
He was mentioned because they drafted Irv Smith.
Yeah.
But Kubiak is there running the offense. So if Kubiak runs a two tight end offense, then that's moot. They need two tight ends.
Yeah. And they throw it to, Kubiak offenses throw it to the tight end. So. I mean, it just stinks. If it's really true that Gronkowski is dead set on not coming back, that he sort of hung him out to dry with the money, and you could have went after a guy like Jared Cook. Like who they ran on. They wanted Jared Cook. But couldn't stretch the money because he had Rob on the books.
Paul is in Hanover today. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I think some of this talk about a quarterback, I'm a little confused about the Patriots' strategy because I feel like the quarterback draft was last year, and they didn't do anything. Oh, they got Danny Etling, technically. But I don't understand his end game. They let Garoppolo go for a second-round pick, and they missed the quarterback draft last year, and this year they're talking about getting Josh Rosen and do nothing. I mean, you know, maybe Zoe can kind of fill me in on what.
They never talked about getting Josh Rosen, did the Patriots?
Oh, okay, so maybe that was rumors going
around? Yes. That was pretty much obviously made true yesterday by what Rosen and Rosen's agent said. They weren't cleared to talk to anybody, never brought up a trade with anybody until after Kyler Murray was selected.
Okay, well, what about the draft last year? Quarterback draft, that was kind of obvious. How come they passed on that?
Because there were five guys that went in the first round, and then after that was it, right? Lamar Jackson was the last guy to go in the first round.
I mean, sure.
The other guys were top three and top five picks. Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield was number one overall. Supposedly they were in on Mayfield. If he fell, maybe they could have got back in around 10 or, you know, somewhere there, if Mayfield was the guy that they targeted. He may have been the lone guy that they targeted last year.
Yeah, I mean,
in your quarterback draft.
I just think that they're going to have a specific guy, Paul, that they like, and they are going to target. It's going to be one or two guys that they look at and say, if we can get him, we'll get him. And then all of a sudden, Baker Mayfield shoots up the board, and he's gone right away. They had no shot. They're not going to draft a guy just because he's a high draft pick. That's not how they operate.
Right.
Oh, there's five quarterbacks. Well, they're not going to like all five. They're going to like one. And if they can't get the one, they're probably going to pass. That's just how they do things. So until they get to a point where they absolutely need the quarterback and need to go all out, I don't think they're going to do it. Because I think wouldn't that be like really foolish to do?
Really?
You sell out an entire draft or two to get a guy when you already have a quarterback? That would be insanity. And we would all think it would be crazy. Let's send it to the action update. get caught up with the guys in the desert on everything that's happening. Bruins got a game tonight. Celtics have a game tonight. We've already heard they are 7.5-point underdogs again for the second straight game. So we'll get to that, get the update, and we're back with more, including the Celtics series and his Paul Pierce's comments on this series saying that it's over. Is it over? That's on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Everybody. I don't know where Milwaukee goes from here. Because
Whoa. No, so listen. Is this over?
No, listen. I think it's over.
This series is over.
Yeah, they
one
lost.
One game? You just said it and said that they could win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I did say that. But
one game.
I think styles make fights in boxing.
We know the style of both teams before the series started.
Yeah, but it just seemed like Milwaukee was the way better team throughout the regular season. But when I watched this, today, if Giannis doesn't have a monster game and somebody else besides him doesn't step up, Boston is just going to out-talent them.
When it's over, that's Paul Pierce on ABC on Sunday saying that the series is over. Over.
Yeah.
Is it over? We need to set some parameters here. What is considered over? Does that mean it's a sweep? Does that mean it's five?
Whoa. Oh, so listen. Is this over?
Whoa.
Well, who's the brake pumper there? Who's that?
Whoa.
Beetle, Michelle Beetle.
Oh.
Is it over?
She's still working, huh?
I think he did when you hear it back.
She makes $5 million a year, though.
Yeah, excuse me?
She makes it a lot of money.
She makes $5 million a year.
She crushes it. Yep.
She's a successful Beetle.
Yes.
We've got this Beetle.
Yeah. You've got the second rate, rate.
No, I'm just depressed, though.
You've got a loser Beetle.
I thought she was done on that morning show.
She
still gets paid for it, though.
Is. She's still getting paid.
Wow. That's a stunner. Man. Okay.
Whoa. Oh, so listen. Is this over?
What do you want for that? Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Move on. Let's deal with that.
We need to set the line. What's the line?
Five or less.
To say it's over, to be able to say it's over. If you're saying it's over right now, how many
games
is that?
Five games.
Five or less.
Can't go. Yeah, can't
right,
go.
So six
can't go
or more. Than
five. Six makes Pierce look bad. It's got to be five or less.
Okay, six or seven games, that's not over. Then he was premature and
being so
confident in saying it's over.
Yep.
I go Celtics in six, closing it out at home. So I'm not saying it's over yet because that could obviously change. If you think your team is capable of winning at least a couple of games, then things could sway and, you know, get a couple of breaks, get a couple of calls that go your way. Who the hell knows? If you're good enough to win two games, you're good enough to win three. That's how I look at it. So I don't think it's over yet. And I think that we have not seen the best of the Milwaukee Bucks. They played poorly on Sunday.
Sure
we'll
did.
Leave it at that. They did not get their best performance out of Giannis. They definitely didn't get their best performance out of the rest of the roster. And they could easily play a much better game tonight. In fact, I'm expecting them to play a much better game. I'm hoping, just for the sake of the series, from an entertainment and competitive perspective, that Mike Budenholzer makes some adjustments and makes some changes, as I hope Brad Stevens does, if there's some tweaks he would like to make. Although Celtics look damn good going into game one. And we see a different type of game. I'm expecting the Bucks to win a game tonight. I'm expecting this tied up at one after tonight.
I know I said earlier that I, you know, probably only get the one game. Upon further reflection, I think the Celtics are going to sweep this one too. They're just going to go ahead and they're going to continue to be, as somebody said to us a couple of days ago, how annoying would it
be?
I'm preparing myself to be annoyed.
What happens if the Celtics lose by 22 tonight?
I don't think they will be.
What if they do?
It ain't going to happen.
Then it's still over. They're still gonna win the series.
It feels like everyone's riding high after a great win. I mean, really good win in game
they
one.
They didn't even look that good against the Pacers, and they swept them.
Right.
They didn't look good against the Pacers. They did not. They did what they needed to do to get it.
I think they're going to continue to just pour it on here in the playoffs to annoy me. To annoy me and everybody else who wants the regular season to mean something and want to roll my eyes when Kyrie Irving or someone else says, we'll figure it out in the playoffs. Don't worry about it.
Now,
it's a regular season game because it's annoying. It's annoying when somebody is that right, and they're going to continue to do it despite me and everyone else who is thinking, hey, man, it's not that easy. You guys just can't turn it on. You're not the Patriots getting healthy and flipping a switch at the start of the postseason. You know what? So far they have been. Now they're going to win three more, and they're going to sweep Milwaukee, too.
It starts tonight.
Game two.
Game two tonight.
Well, it started five games ago. It's going to continue tonight.
And it's like Felker and Maz asked that question, too. Is there any movement here? Do you have any movement based on what you've seen from the Celtics? And all last week, nothing. Joke of a series was Indiana. Now Seth Murray's like, they're winning it all. It's like that. Too many people are going that way based on one game. And Paul Pierce knows what he's talking about. He knows the matchups. He knows once you get in the series, he's done it with Doc. He's done it with Kevin and KG. He knows, I mean, Kevin and Ray. He knows it. He knows the matchups are too good. Too good. You just can't take jack threes up the way they do. What, you're just going to get hot all of a sudden? Yeah, Celtics could get hot too. They can answer. And you get two major leads that they close, but then boom, you went and still blew them out. 22 points is a blowout in your own building, losing in the first game. That's a blowout. May not look like it. 112-90 is a blowout. You got blew out at home. Number one team.
I think you've got to remember that Milwaukee defensively was really good in the regular season.
Yep.
I think you've got to. There are some things you've got to remember. You've got to remember that they are not going to shoot 34% like they did in game one, even though they had a bunch of horrible, horrible decisions. They had bad shot selection. They chucked up a bunch of prayers. That may not continue. Okay, their shooting could get better. Giannis could play better. We know he's certainly capable of playing better than what he did on Sunday. Defensively, they could be a lot better. Their coach may actually make adjustments because they don't have a guy like Brett Brown or one of these other NBA coaching dopes. They actually have a guy who's been around for a little while, actually knows how to coach. There are things that could change here that could get flipped completely. You know, the script could flip from game one tonight. And you know what? I don't think you should overreact to that either.
No, and I wouldn't overreact to it, Beetle, but I also don't see the script getting flipped because it would require bad games from Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum. How about this? It would require bad games from two of the following four players: Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford, and a bad coaching job by Brad Stevens.
Horford was too far down that list for you. Horford's too important to be that far down the list.
I wasn't ranking them in order. I'm just saying that. It would require bad games from two of those four guys and a bad coaching effort from Brad Stevens in order for it to be a lopsided blowout. So, sticking with what I said earlier, lose a game here. But honestly, I'm not going to be surprised if they sweep these guys too.
To argue what I asked before, like that when you look at the teams on paper, and you look at the matchups, you look at which team's more talented. You say, okay, the Celtics, but who has the best player? The easy answer is Giannis. And I asked you, can you argue that Kyrie may be the better player? And you said, yes. insert in a different
way. I would listen to arguments on that.
The fact that those two, the MVP, the best, maybe the best player in the league, and you could say those two can sort of negate each other from a performance standpoint. Now all of a sudden it's everybody else and the waves that the Celtics throw at you.
Giannis went 4-for-16 on two-pointers in this game, game one.
Okay.
He shot 64% on two-pointers in the regular season.
And I saw him just get stuffed several times.
What are the odds he's going to continue to shoot 4-for-16?
What's the counter? And if you don't have an offense to go to, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to free him up, to get him easier looks? I mean, if you pack it into paint, you force this guy to just shoot outside. He doesn't have it.
Well, maybe Budenholzer was getting more calls on drives.
Well, he was 3-of-5 from three, right? Like, if he starts knocking down threes, okay, now it's going to be a problem. But what else does everybody else do? They just shoot threes. I don't see anybody else drive the bucket. He's the only one who drives the lane. Anybody else go to the boards? No. Like, they all stay outside the arc.
Andy is in Upton. What's up, Andy?
Hey, boys. How we doing today?
Good.
Awesome. You know, I just had a couple points, and I'll let you talk. I think a big thing is that there's a concept that, oh, the Celtics are just turning it on right now. I think it was a slow build that they did have a really – bad lull towards like the beginning of the second third of the season, but they turned it on towards the end, and I think they won, I want to say, like 7 of the last 10 at this point now. I think with when you add in Indianapolis, they're really putting some confidence and they're building everything around them. I do see Milwaukee maybe taking one at home, but I think there's the confidence now, and I don't think, you know, it's not that I'm saying Hardy's wrong, but I don't think that they're saying the regular season's not doesn't matter. It's just that they're at this point building up all these things, all this brick wall that they're building, and now all these parts are actually in place, and it's what we, not what we thought, because we thought they were going to win 68 games or something, but I just think it's organically become what it is now, and it's not just like a flip switch thing. I think it's finding rotations and it's working out. So that's my thought.
I mean, flip switch, that's their words. Flip switch is what Kyrie Irving said.
You'll see.
You know, you'll see it.
You'll see it. Called it. Not me.
You'll see.
He called it.
I'm seeing it.
Yeah, we're seeing it. Hey. And I disagree. I don't think it was a gradual build.
But that's what scares. Like, Pierce knows how to flip it. Like, KG did. Like, even IT in the biggest games would step up. Those guys knew how to turn it up. Kyrie's got different gear. Like, Giannis just trying to do what Giannis does. Does he have another gear to where he can take over that type of game? And he's going to get the amount of touches, the amount he shoots. He's going to get his points. But it's about, we talked about this prior to the series. You're not going to stop him. Can you slow him down? What you did in game one was slow his ass down. And you thwarted him. You stopped basically 60% of his production.
Well, now that everyone's feeling so great about the Celtics and what their chances are going forward, I think it's time we really start paying attention closely to everything else that's going on in the NBA.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe we should spend a little bit of time doing that next with more of your calls here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
That was good. Hang on.
How's your guys' team report on all the missed calls to send the league?
You guys are going to ask about all that? I thought we were going to just talk about the game.
What do you think about it?
Steve Kerr opening his press conference yesterday, flopping all over the place. Getting ready for game two of that series. Warriors won game one, 104-100. A lot of debated foul calls in that game. in game one. And referees have, you know, as always in the NBA, become a big, big part of the story. Big part of the story. And it's gotten so bad that we're now talking about teams doing audits, because the Rockets audited Game 7 from 2018 and say that based on their audit, referees likely changed the eventual NBA champion. That's right. They typed up a memo and said they believe that based on their internal audit and review of the game, their bid to the NBA Finals was stolen from them by the refs. Ugh. That's what they claim. Steve Kerr opened his press conference by flopping.
Ah, he's so funny. He's annoying. I never really dug him. Like, that team runs itself, it seems. He's one of those coaches that are just, it's a paper coach. I'm sure he adds a little bit.
This one's hard, though. What's better for the league, the Rockets or Golden State?
Golden State.
If you're trying to fix something, what's better?
Golden State.
Do you know that definitively?
What's better?
Yeah.
What's a better TV market?
Houston.
What's a better story?
Houston.
Houston has a star. They have
a star. You want a national audience. You ask about people name all the players on Houston.
No, you're right.
Yeah, stop after James
Harden. More appeal of Steph Curry alone has more
Steph
star
Curry power. Alone. Kevin Durant.
People get sick of the Patriots winning, and they say, everybody says they want something new. But ultimately, when you get to it, what's the big draw? Get Casey in New England in the championship game. Get New England and whoever, Drew Brees in the Super Bowl. You want to see him ultimately once they get there. It ultimately is going to be Golden State, and you want to see Golden State. If you're going to beat anybody, you beat the best. If you're the Celtics and you go through it and you beat Golden State, is that going to taste sweeter than you beating, Houston? No.
The other problem with this,
when you're
just talking about the likability of these teams, Beadle, and I have grown to really dislike Steph Curry, for a variety of really stupid reasons, and I only like Draymond Green because he went to Michigan State. I don't think Golden State's particularly likable, but James Harden, does that guy give you anything to like about him other than his game? Other than his offensive prowess, does he do anything to make you like him or want to see him succeed as a player?
He doesn't do anything to make me dislike him that I know of.
So it's a wash.
I like his game.
It's a wash. Go with the champions. Go with the team that people have watched the last 3-4 years.
I'd rather see the
NBA,
Rockets.
But if you're the NBA and you have a rooting interest in this, you want to see something, just give us Golden State and someone else.
All right.
We'll figure it out from there.
Well, closer to home, back in the Eastern Conference, we're paying attention to what's happening in the 76ers-Toronto series because, everyone here seems to think the Celtics have already advanced and they're already going to the Eastern Conference Finals, and
yeah,
then it's over.
It's over.
So now it's a matter of who will be the opponent on the other side. That series is tied up at 1-1. Joel Embiid unavailable in certain stretches last night of the game.
What'd he do?
I don't know. Ask him.
Man, if you've had whatever the name is, if you had the sh- before,
I have.
Joe. If you've had it before, you would know how it feels. But these are my guys, and want to show up every night, play hard.
They hung on for the win, 94-89.
Get a lot of diarrhea.
A lot of diarrhea.
Can you give the guy something?
Yeah, it's called Imodium AD.
Where's the team doctor on that one?
Your dog get diarrhea?
Imodium.
Where do your dog get scorched? You're going to be boiling rice out of your wazoo.
Yeah, give him a couple of bananas. Something. There's got to be something.
Binders. Here, eat this. Eat this wheat. Eat wheat germ.
But
eat this box of grape nuts. Right,
I don't know
now.
How you guys feel, but I'm rooting like crazy for the 76ers in this series because of the hate.
I am too.
Between the 76ers and the Celtics.
Yes. I like that.
But also because we just need to get Brett Brown back for a series against the Celtics because I think he's such a clown. It's such a clown show there in Philly. I think they've got sort of a clownish atmosphere with that team. And so if they can go for this upset, I'd like it. Here's Brett Brown talking about Jimmy Butler last night and the way he stepped up for the team.
Your third star and a guy who has the reputation as an alpha dog in these sort of situations.
This was James Butler. Like, that was the adult in the gym. And I get as excited as the volume of threes that he sought as much as anything. And he was just a tremendous, sort of rock. He willed us to a lot of different situations.
Just watching the purity of his shot.
Brett Brown, everybody.
I know.
Butler was not Jimmy Butler last night. He was James Butler in the opinion of his head coach.
Took me a minute to figure, because when I was reading it, it took me a minute to figure out who the hell he was talking about.
Yeah, no kidding. This was James Butler.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, that was the adult in the gym.
You know, when our producer, Jim Louth, acts like an adult, we say this is James Louth.
Yeah.
No, this is Jimmy.
He's always the adult.
This is not Jim Louth we're talking to now. This is James.
Usually it's the opposite. It's when you're in trouble. Called by your official name when you're in trouble.
Well, Scott. Guess what Jimmy Butler had to say about that? There's a slight problem with his coach saying that was James Butler. Go ahead.
Jimmy, right here in front of you. Coach came in here and he said this wasn't Jimmy Butler tonight. It was James Butler because how mature.
My name isn't James. Literally, it's Jimmy.
Oh Jesus. I love the NBA.
That's terrific, but my name is not James. It's actually Jimmy. I'm just Jimmy. My given name at birth was Jimmy.
Disrespect.
Not James. Thanks a lot, Coach.
My name isn't James. Literally, it's Jimmy.
It literally is Jimmy.
Fred Brown is such a stooge.
What a tool.
What a stooge. Maine. Brett Brown to the NBA coaches is what our callers are from Maine.
Brett Brown sounds a little like Les Miles did at LSU doing his like,
just a tremendous sort of rock. He willed us to a lot of different situations.
He sounds like Les Miles talking about the Thanksgiving. Remember he did the meal when you get you know, the turkey. And you get the little bits of gravy.
Yeah. And notice how he's so quick to dismiss and go against what his coach said. You know, he was in here and he said it wasn't Jimmy.
Yeah, no, he's
Jimmy.
An idiot.
My name's Jimmy.
Tonight was James Butler because how mature.
My name isn't James. Literally, it's Jimmy.
Yeah, I heard that. My coach is a moron.
I didn't come here.
My name's Jimmy.
I came here to play with these guys, and I come here to play with it for this fool. You know, I came here to play with Joel Embiid and Simmons, and I came here to play with them. Jesus.
617-779-0985. What did the Red Sox do last night? You catch any of that?
Jim said it was on watch, but I turned it on. It was 4-0, and they were trying to describe how good Chris Sale has been in his last two starts.
All it took was James Louth calling them an unwatchable. For them to, you know, pound in what, six runs there?
They had their biggest run production of the year.
Let's get
bunch
to that.
Bunch of runs there in the sixth. Yeah, that's
the
all
Red
it took.
Sox. The Red Sox last night. That is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
15%.
First, our introduction. Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And he'll sock that base hit. On the move, Benintendi to cut it on the backhand down to second. Piscotty in stopping there. And that will do it for Eduardo Rodriguez. He does allow three hits in the inning. The pickoff was a huge help, but first and second, two down, and he's done.
And after that, the fans at Fenway gave a rousing applause to Eddie Rodriguez as he departed last night because he left with a lead. Eddie Rodriguez went 4 2/3. He gave up 4 earned runs on 7 hits.
Well, he
readjusted
the bar, man.
He threw 97 pitches. He has an ERA on the year of 6.16. and he left to giant applause last night. Real applause.
Tell you what, those are the hardcores, though. Those people that sucked it up and sat out in that mess last night.
Yeah, I don't think it was a mock applause. I think it was real.
Okay. Hey, we're seeing something positive.
I think
here.
It was, thank God. Oh, my God. Yeah. This team has been so wretched. Thank you.
To the point when you guys texted, when they're unwatchable, Jim said, and it was 4-0 at that point, I flip it on, and O'Brien and Eck were breaking down Sell's last two starts. He's got 18 strikeouts in the last two starts, and he said he had such a great start the last one to get through seven after a loss. Now, to your point, he lowered his ERA by over, you know, one earned run, which is nice, and you're looking for positive things like E-Rod last night. You readjust
is
the
that,
bar a
little. Is that, you know, you're just lowering the bar now.
Well, it is what
That's
it is.
That's all you're doing.
I was sitting here, and I was just, you know, we're so engulfed, so immersed in Bruins-Celtics draft last week. You hurry up, you pull up the baseball standings, you're like, holy crap, the Yankees are six games up on you. I'm like, where'd that come from? And you're like, well, they've been all right. I said, did they get hot? You're like, no. Then you look at it, and they won 9-10.
All right, do you want some positives? I can find some positives here.
Yeah, the bats.
Because I don't believe this Red Sox season is over.
The bats.
I don't believe they're going to ruin your summer. I don't think any of that stuff is happening.
No.
Okay, they're going to find
water.
They're going to find their way out of this.
Yep.
Whoa. So is this over?
No, it's not over.
Tell Michelle.
Beetle, it's not over.
Is it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
No.
Hell no.
Was it over?
Rich Beetle.
Yeah, wealthy Beetle right there. $5 million a year. Mookie Betts has 10 hits in his last five games. Does that get anyone excited? Anybody? Anyone?
I'm all concerned if they leave the ballpark.
Anyone?
I want them to go.
We had a home run.
All right.
We had a home run a couple days ago.
Yep. Get hot.
All right.
Jacket.
A little something.
He's raising his average. He's approaching 300. There's something.
You know what's weird? It got that whole thing going was Benintendi hustling to beat that play out at first.
J.D. Martinez got back in the lineup last night after dealing with the back spasm, knocked in a couple of runs. Is that not a positive? Xander Bogaerts, couple of hits for him last night. Two RBI for Xander. And they did. They had this six-run third inning in the bottom of the third. They scored six runs. They bounced back, and then they didn't give up another run the rest of the night. Like, that's good. The bullpen last night was able to combine between six different relievers last night. Hembree, Brewer, Workman, Brazier, Velasquez, and Matt Barnes combined to pick up the slack after E-Rod went 4 2/3. They combine to hold the bullpen, all six pitchers, all scoreless last night. And they win the game 9-4 at Fenway. Okay, that's a baby step.
They're home, right?
Because
that's Chris
Sutton.
We're home. Tell the fans we haven't even played at home, so they're starting
baby
to play
step.
At home.
Baby step.
So you won one at home. You know what happens if we win again? That's two in a row. When you win a third, you know what they call that? A winning streak. Let's go. Major League.
Yeah, Lou Brown.
Yeah.
At the sequel?
They need to get on one of those at home. They need to start racking up some games at home. They need to start exerting yourself. Like in that inning, they exerted themselves.
Yeah, exert yourself.
Hit the damn ball.
Yeah.
That's what you're
Plant
supposed to
do. Plant the feet.
That's what you're supposed to do. Hustle. Beat plays out at first. Did anybody think they got that review wrong?
You want to break a sweat?
I thought the dude was touching first base. I swear to God, the guy's foot was next to the bag. Does it literally have to be on the bag, though? I thought it had to be just touching the bag. They didn't reverse it. Still with the original call. Safe. That got that whole thing going. That whole rally.
I don't know. What else you got?
Hustle!
Okay, you've got Mookie Betts with 10 hits in the last five games.
This team is going to have to go. This team's going to have to rip off like 10 in a row.
You got anything else for him to make me feel good about him?
Yeah. How about Chavis?
I got something. Chavis
playing
has been
first
good.
Base last
we
night.
We mentioned Chavis
Michael
yesterday.
Michael Scott Chavis.
How long's that going to last?
I've got
Seriously,
something
though.
For you on Devers.
How long's
Red
that going
to last?
So it's a top prospect. It might last the whole season.
That's good then.
Red Sox Stats tweeted this out last night about Devers at third base, and it sort of ties into Chavis. Devers made 68% of routine plays at third base as a rookie. He made 70% last season. And this season, he is making 76% of routine plays based on the, metrics. The league average at third base is 72%, which would put him above the league average at making routine plays. His range is excellent, Red Sox stats, right? He's been a minus one defensive run. He's been minus one defensive run this season. So league average.
Yeah.
People that want to move him off of third base are legitimately dumb, according to Red Sox stats, about the defense at third base by Devers. Legitimately dumb, they write. Does that make you feel any better about his defense at third base? Anyone?
Yeah. Yeah. You all right, buddy?
Okay, back to the rookie. Back to Michael Chavis. If he's playing first base, first of all, I really like that, but that also means that means you can now bury Steve Pierce.
Oh, the MVP?
The MVP of the World Series.
Oh, boy.
Who's batting like 100?
Yeah. Just remember, Bradley Jr.
You may never see him again.
Too. Yeah.
You may never see the man again.
It's unbelievable. It really is. Jackie Bradley Jr. gets MVP of the ALDS. ALCS, right? Yeah, Yankees. I'm a butt from the hole in the ground. Which one was it?
Did we give Jim Vasquez, Chavis, and Nunez as a team?
I'll take it. Jim, that's a sexy picture.
What?
Jim, is that like, were they taking that picture where they said, hey, give me your sexy look?
I have no idea.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, my God. That's the Who Jacked It contest. Yeah. I still have the lead with 11.
They're like, picture Lauren
seven
in a
from
bikini.
Moreland and Jim's four like, from J.D. Martinez. But in terms of expected guys, the guys at the top, it's still, I would say it's a close race because Betts has five.
Leave that picture
Martinez
up.
Has four and Bogarts has four. So that race is actually very close. I lead with 11. Zoe with seven. Hardy with four.
You think they're hell-bent on getting Pedroia back in the lineup?
I hope not.
Oh, he's in Portland. Little leaders up in Portland,
if they are,
right?
Just platoon him and Zue Lynn at second base and start Chavis at first. Move Moreland to DH and start J.D. Martinez in the outfield and take JBJ out of the lineup. Your lineup.
That would give you the best offensive output. It absolutely would.
I know Cora won't do that because he likes switching it up, but that's your lineup right there.
That would be the best lineup that they could put out there to hit the baseball and score runs every night. And you know what, Jim? This is a good point because based on your record right now and you're, what, still five games under 500? Is that what they are? 14-19? Is that what it is? I'll double check. You have to start thinking about doing things that you're uncomfortable doing. Does that make sense? You can't just do what you like to do. You can't just do what worked for you a year ago. You may have to do things that you would consider, it's 12-17. Sorry, why did I think 14-19? 12-17. You might have to do some things that you don't love, that you don't love to do.
Yeah.
Because you've got to try and manufacture as many wins as you can in a short period of time to sort of catch up and give yourself some breathing room.
Right.
They've got to do that.
I remember.
That would require putting JD in the outfield.
Yep.
That would require doing things that, you know, may upset a player, may not be what you like doing, put you out of your comfort zone.
And normally to get a guy that's hitting below 150 is to sit him down, let him think about things to get his head right. And from a serious standpoint here with Pedroia. So the story is he's got a different knee brace. This is like sort of the last gasp type knee brace that is going to allow him to swing the way he wants to swing. That was a problem. He couldn't swing the way he wanted to swing. So hopefully this thing will stabilize the knee to where he's got the confidence to get in there and get his at-bats. And maybe this could be the last attempt at giving it a go, right? Or else it could be the beginning of the end, right? I think Abraham had that yesterday. So trying to get
if
him
it doesn't work out for him, then you put Nunez in that spot.
Yes.
You get Pedroia out.
Yes. Yeah.
The point is, get Chavis in the lineup, get Moreland in the lineup, get J.D. Martinez in the lineup, get JBJ out, and have your second base be the rotating position.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. Throw the Red Sox into the conversation as well. Bruins will play game 3 of their series tonight. We're talking about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.